Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to all of you here and those who are listening at home, and especially our friends at Carr's Court. There are a number of notices, and to begin with, I'd like to invite Sue to just tell you something.
I've been asked to bring to your notice something concerning Anne, David and Mark Westhead. Now, they were members of our church in the 1980s and 90s, and I'm sure many of you will remember their considerable input to the church. Now, on Thursday, the 26th of July at 9 p.m. on BBC Two, there is a programme entitled Spina Bifida and Me. It includes an interview with Mark, who sadly died from the condition last July. There is also a very short guest appearance by a very young Anne and David, recorded some 40 years ago. So the programme is on Thursday, the 26th of July at 9 p.m. on BBC Two.
Right. And before Sue goes, it is a very special birthday today, a significant one. So I'm sure we'd all like to sing, looking at Gwyn. Happy birthday to you. Oh, and you can sit down.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sue. Happy birthday to you.
Right, just two more things. Firstly, Katie rang last night and to say that we need to order the prayer book if we normally take it. So I've gone and put a sheet and a pen at the back of church for you to sign. She thinks it's about £3.50, but that isn't guaranteed. So it's at the back on the font. Now, the next person is Bill, whom I can't see. Oh, you're at the back, who'd also like to come and talk to you.
It's very brief and you probably guess what I'm going to say. August is when we do maintenance and spring cleaning in the church. We're starting on the 7th of August, which is a Tuesday, just to be different this year. If you're going to be available to volunteer, please see me or Ian there. There will be a list of jobs in each room. There will be jobs that suit all sorts of abilities. So if you're free, please come and help. Thank you.
And finally, David. A very, very warm welcome to David. As you all know, he's a member here. You weren't forgotten. I thought I'd leave you to the end. So now we can actually start the service. So we're really looking forward to hearing from you, and the service will begin with an introit from the choir.
To this place, each one called by name, irresistibly poured on our own individual journey of faith, to come together as your church. We thank you that you have called us here to enjoy and be upheld by fellowship and to feel afresh what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We praise you that you have called us to be your faithful people, to hold you at the center of all things, to hold each other up in love and hope, to sing your praises and to make time for reflection and prayer. Lord, you are the faithful one, the one whose love, mercy and grace sets us free, that reaches out to meet us where we are. We come to worship you, and we come with the assurance that you are the God of forgiveness, compassion and grace, that you will continue to work on us, in us and through us to shape us each new day with each new experience, so that we may become the people you called us to be. We pray that we are ready to receive the gift of renewed faith, that we may be born anew through the gift of our Saviour Jesus Christ, empowered by your Holy Spirit, alive and moving forward as a people of faith here in this place. And we ask these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Wonderful to be with you. This fine summer morning, but we've picked one rare, not fine summer morning today. We're going to sing together the first three verses of hymn number 28 in our books. Jesus calls us here to meet him. We're going to do a scientific experiment now. Well, a sort of scientific experiment. And I need a young volunteer. I need someone who is brave. I need someone who's got a head for heights, a good sense of balance, and someone who won't sue me for lack of health and safety protection. It's not that dangerous. I've been leading worship quite a long time, and I've not lost anyone yet. So, would you like to come up, sir? Very brave. No, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And your name is?
Adrian.
Adrian. Well done, Adrian. Pause a moment there, and I will get the props. See what good use I'm making of your bag, Mrs. Cullen. So, we're going to use these crisp tubes for our experiment. First of all, we've got to test, Adrian, how strong they are. So, would you like to face the front, and would you like to stamp on that as hard as you like? Ah, right. So, we see they're not terribly strong. That wasn't too difficult to squash that, was it?
No,
righto. So, what we're going to do is we're going to balance on top of three of these tubes. I say we. You are going to balance. So, let's see how we go with this. I've even brought a little step just to increase the safety of the whole thing. So, put one there, and one there. And I will get a little platform. Now then, I will hold your hand while you step up, and we see how strong they are now. Wow! That's something that was squashed so easily is now holding you up. Step back carefully, Adrian. And down again. And I'm so inspired by your efforts. Hold my hand, because I'm going to try now. Wow. Thank you very much. You may sit down, sir. Thank you. Very brave. So, we've seen something that doesn't look very strong, not very big, and yet can support so much. Even my sylph-like figure can be supported by these delicate tubes. See, in the Bible stories that we're going to hear later on, those of us who stay in, we're going to hear about David, who'd been a little shepherd boy when he was called by God to become the great leader of his people. And he was only a young lad when he was chosen for this responsibility. We're going to hear of Zacchaeus, who was a very little chap who had to climb up a tree to see over the crowd, to see Jesus. And it doesn't really matter how old you are, whether you're 8 or 80. You may not be very big or feel very important, but God wants you. God calls you. Because he has a very important job for you. He calls you so that you know you are special. And we'll see that in our Bible stories today. Through Jesus Christ, we can turn our apparent disadvantages into advantages. Minuses. God turns minuses into pluses. And helps us be strong enough not only to meet the challenges that we face in life, but be strong enough to help and support others. So thank you, Adrian, for that. I'm very grateful, and we got through without any mishap, which I'm very grateful. Amazing. Thank you very much. We're now going to have presentations to our kids club. Emma.
Hello everyone. We're very blessed in this church to have children who come on a Sunday morning. And over the year we've had some exciting times. Our regular Sunday mornings we do age-appropriate activities. We do lots of games running around in the hall. We do lots of quizzes and dramas and dressing up and all sorts of things and crafts and everything. We've also had some exciting times. We had our light party last year. We had our fantastic Christingle. We've had our Palms Praise and Pizza party. We've had our Pentecost party. We've had our Paddington weekend last weekend, which we all had good fun at. And today is the day when we give the children just a little present, a little book, and a reminder of their time with us this year. And then we're going to leave you. I'm sorry, we're having yet another party. And I'm nearly partied out, but I've got just enough for today. and we're going to have our end of year party, so it's so lovely. So I'm just going to call the children's names out, and if they wouldn't mind coming up and getting their gift, that would be fantastic. So, let me see. Who am I going to start with? Joshua and Joseph. They've been fantastic. Give them a round of applause, because they've been fantastic. Thank you so much. Actually, can I just ask you, quick question. Sorry, I've not prepared this. It's dangerous. What has been the thing you've enjoyed most about Sunday Kids this year? Have you got anything?
Getting the presents at the end.
Getting the presents. Bribery and corruption in Wilmslow Methodist Church. Sorry, I've led you all astray. Great. I should prepare them, shouldn't I? You can tell they're not prepared. Come on in, girls. You're just in time. Come on in. Okay. We've also got Olivia and Joshua. So if you want to come up and get your gifts. Good answer. What have you enjoyed about Sunday Kids this year?
Probably learning how to juggle.
Learning how to juggle. Fantastic.
I like doing the crafts.
You like doing the crafts. Fantastic. Thank you, guys. Okay. I've got a gift here for my son Gamal because he's come half the year and he does set up all the tables and get the drinks ready. So. What have you enjoyed about Sunday Kids? Yeah, there I am.
I don't know, there's just everything, really. Everything, yeah.
Thanks for making him so welcome. Okay, we've got. What have I done with them? We've got Adrian and Christopher, we've got something for you. Adrian, have you got anything to say? Would you like to say anything about Sunday Kids? Do you like it?
I like the games in the hall.
Games in the hall. There we go. Okay. Have you got something to say, Christopher? No? Oh, right. Right. Now, who else have I got? Okay, Lizzie, I've got something for you. And something for Isabel as well. Okay, thank you, Lizzie. Have you got anything to say? Did you enjoy Paddington last week?
Yeah.
She came a bit reluctantly in the morning because the mum went like this and took a phone off her. And Lizzie's face was quite a picture, wasn't it, Lizzie? But by the end, you didn't want to go, did you? Because you were making a shrinky and you were doing different things.
So. Yeah, I like the shrinky, yeah.
You like the shrinky. Anything else you enjoyed last week?
I like doing the pizza palm praise and the
pizza
thing.
Yeah. We might make the pizzas. Well done, love. Thank you. Yay. Right, Persephone. We've got something for you. Persephone came to our Palms Praise and Pizza Party and she started coming to Tiddlywinks and she's coming today, so we're looking forward to seeing her today. Okay, have I got... Safi and Ruby and everybody, are you all here? Do you want to come up? So I might have to ask you to give them to everybody. So I think some of them are playing outside. So so thank you everybody, especially to all the volunteers who help with Sunday Kids, because it can be quite lively and it's always good fun. So thank you to all our volunteers and thank you for the support for the children as well. Okay, thanks, bye.
Right kids, off you go. And thank you to Emma and thank you to all the children. for making this church the wonderful place that it is. Thank you very much. Let us pray. Young people are so often at the heart of the story of faith. We pray for our young people that they come to experience the love of Jesus Christ, precious and perfect in their lives. And pray too for all who lead them and care for them. Lord, we thank you that we are part of the continuing story of faith, part of an ongoing creation making your message, your Bible truth, alive for the next generation. We confess we often fall short in our commitment. We offer you less than our best, often fail to reflect your love and forgiveness in our dealings with others. And for this, we are sorry. We thank you that your love endures, and your forgiveness is all-encompassing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. After our next hymn, we'll be taking the offering, but our next hymn is number 364, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." with these gifts, we bring our praises. With our praises, we bring our joy. With our joy, we bring our thanksgiving. With our thanksgiving, we bring ourselves. Dear Lord, use all we have to offer to glorify your name and to bring blessing to others. Amen. We have our readings. The Old Testament, second book of Samuel, and from Luke's Gospel.
The Old Testament reading from the second book of Samuel, reading from chapter 9, verses 1 to 13. David asked, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And he was summoned to David. The king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "At your service." The king said, "Is there anyone remaining of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" Ziba said to the king, "There remains a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, son of Amiel, at Lodabar." Then the king David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, son of Amiel, at Lodabar. Mephibosheth's son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and did obeisance. David said, "Mephibosheth," he answered, "I am your servant." David said to him, "Do not be afraid, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you yourself shall eat at my table always." He did obeisance and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon a dead dog such as I am?" Then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, All that belonged to Saul and to all his house, I have given to your master's grandson. You and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce, so that your master's grandson may have food to eat. But your master's grandson, Mephibosheth, shall always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so your servant will do." Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in Ziba's house came to Mephibosheth's servants. Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he always ate at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet. Amen.
Sorry, that's okay, don't worry.
So our second reading this morning is from the New Testament, and this is Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 9. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham." Amen.
Thank you. So while the children celebrate, we celebrate too. For here in the grace of God we stand. Let's sing, "I Am a New Creation."
It's a very quick introduction.
Very quick introduction. Things in your life that you would rather forget? I want to tell you this very personal story. not out of it being a sort of life, one of life's tragedies. No, it's a metaphor, really. See, from a fairly early age, I seem to get picked to appear in a leading role in plays and dramatic presentations of sorts. And this seemed odd to me because I was rather shy, still am, and not brimming with self-confidence. And so an example of this, I was a member of a very active church youth fellowship. And one of the things we used to do was create and perform plays and dramatic presentations. And I can remember one in particular that we took from East Cheshire all across to West Cheshire. Took it on the road. It was quite successful. St. Francis of Assisi, this is your life. Now, I say it like that because people of my age and older may remember Eamon Andrews, the big Irishman, who presented This Is Your Life on television. Those of you who are younger than me, I'd just like to say that that was uncanny. It was like having him back in the room. So I learnt that performing was a tricky business. I wasn't always that successful. And I remember us entering a one-act play festival, and this wasn't among church youth clubs. This was among serious players competing. Young youth drama groups, school drama groups with proper drama teachers and so on. And so we entered this festival, and I was to direct the play. The leading role was quite demanding. He was on stage all the time, and sometimes, for quite a while, he was on his own there. Well, the person who was due to perform this role quit. It was too much. And so, at the last minute, as everybody else took two steps backwards, I was the person left standing there to direct and perform this lead role. And so on the biggest stage I'd ever been asked to perform on, in front of a full house, we got going. And all seemed to be going fairly well. And then suddenly I blanked. I couldn't think of the next line. And as I sort of fumbled round the back of the stage, because I knew I'd asked somebody to be prompter, and I was getting closer and closer to the curtains round the stage, trying to hear the prompter. But the prompter was not all that committed to his job, and I think he was about 30 yards down the corridor somewhere, whispering, because I never heard a thing, and it took me a while to regain my nerve and my composure. I think my embarrassment has probably hidden most of the rest of the details of this episode, but as I say, it was not a tragic event, it's a metaphor. But the one thing I do remember is when the adjudicator got up on the stage at the end of the event and gave his comments, and he was very kind to me. I was amazed, really, because I was disconsolate. I thought, I'd let myself down, I'd let down the team, and so on. But he was very kind. And then afterwards he came up to me and he put his arm across my shoulder and he said, "This can happen to any of us. Don't let it put you off. Keep going." And I've remembered that. Now, the person who was the lead actor in the play that won went on to become a star of the West End. Not only an actor, but a writer, director in films and on TV. Although I do remember him, early in his career, the thing that probably drew the biggest audience was a TV advert he performed, which went something like, "Nuts, all hazelnuts, Cadbury's take 'em and they cover them with chocolate." See, and I missed out on all that. But there's something in that experience that taught me a lesson for life, really. That things can go badly wrong. No matter how hard you've worked at it, you can feel alone and hopeless. But you can learn from that experience and grow from it. Especially if someone is prepared to give you another chance, to give you encouragement. Now, in our Old Testament story, we have King David. Now, King David was a proper star. He was a starter, singer, songwriter, musician. As a youngster, he was the only man, really, who could soothe King Saul when he got really angry. He would play the harp. David was a man of extreme highs and lows, a sort of Jekyll and Hyde character. But he enjoyed God's great favour to rise to become the unifying king of all Israel. The first in a royal line that was to lead to Jesus Christ. So David never fluffed his lines, but there were times when he certainly forgot his faith, forgot his decency, his dignity, his morals. He was a flawed hero, a flawed servant of God. And he couldn't hide from those times that he'd been a disgrace. But God didn't reject this broken man of faith. He didn't reject this failure. Instead, through the prophet Nathan, he made David aware of his mistakes and gave him something to grasp for the future. God put a big arm around his shoulders and said, "Son, you can learn from all of this, and you can go on and be my servant still." Now, in our story from the second book of Samuel, we have an illustration of the compassionate David. David asks, "Is there anyone left of Saul's family?" And, you know, Saul had been the king who had hunted David down, who'd wanted him dead. He was his fiercest rival. And there was. There was a servant of Saul's called Ziba. And he knew of a grandson who'd survived. A handicapped boy, Mephibosheth. I'm sorry for anybody who has to read some of these tongue twisters in the Old Testament. That's my take on it. I'm sure there's dozens of others. So David sent for this youth and told him not to be afraid. He sat him down at the king's table and treated him like a son. And this was so rare because a new ruler usually just got rid of all the previous regime, the staff, the family. They'd either be banished or killed. So Mephibosheth was welcomed. Why? Because David was learning from his mistakes. He knew what forgiveness meant. He knew about new beginnings. To have a God who believed in him. And so he showed tolerance and hospitality and love to this young man. A helpless young man. The grandson of his sworn enemy. And he gave this boy a new start. He put his arm around the boy and said, "I know what it's like to be an outcast, to make mistakes, and I want to tell you that it can still be all right. You're still going to have a good life." So perhaps like Zacchaeus in our New Testament reading, we may reach a point where we feel alone, beyond hope. No one believes in us. In Zacchaeus' case, well, it's not surprising he was alone, really. He was a crooked tax collector. A figure of scorn, till Jesus comes. And Jesus puts an arm around Zacchaeus. God's arm. The arm of tolerance, of understanding, of forgiveness and love. Even of this person who was detested by the rest of his community. So like David, we too can rebound from life's setbacks. The times we would rather forget. Like Mephibosheth, we can know the joy of a new beginning. To be accepted. Like Zacchaeus, we can have the gaze of Christ upon us. The healing arm of Christ embrace us. The welcome words of Christ inviting us. Today, my little friend. Yes, you up there in that tree. I believe in you. I can give you a new start. Come down now. I want to take tea in your home. A new life in Christ about to begin. So today, imagine for a moment standing with me, the young performer on this big stage, feeling so distraught, so nervous. Know that sometimes we can all lose our way. Things come unstuck. Stand with me and David and Zacchaeus and feel that isolation. But stand with me also as David and Zacchaeus and Mephibosheth and hear the words of Christ inviting you to come closer. And hear the words of God offering you forgiveness, offering you a way back. And when you least expect it, when you feel ready to throw in the towel, you had enough, you can't take any more. You experience the hand of God holding you close. Know the assurance of God welcoming you home. With his arm around your shoulder. A second chance. A new beginning. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to sing hymn 513. Take this moment. Sign and space. Do sit down. For our prayers for others and ourselves, I'll leave a space between each prayer for you to reflect, to listen to God, or to add your own thoughts and prayer. Hurry, come down, he said, and I did, following his voice through the crowd. I needed wait no longer. I had been seen over the crowd, my prayer heard, crying out for a fresh start, even though it meant casting off old ways. No longer the grasping person everyone knew. Come, he said, and I knew what God could do. May we let go of the hurt and pain of the past and look to the hope of the future. The Son of Man has come to save the lost. Lord Jesus, you built your church on the rock of redeemed and renewed humanity. Through Peter and Paul, through Wesley, Luther and Luther King, through all the saints of every age, you extended, reshaped and diversified the household of faith. May we who inherit their work today so love and serve your kingdom that generations to come may benefit from our witness. In this time and place, you have called us to pray for those in need. We pray for the people whose names the world knows, whose stories are told in the news. We pray for people in places of suffering, whose names only you and their family and friends know, and whose lives you cherish. We open our hearts to people facing difficulties and suffering, the lonely, the ignored, the bereaved, those facing significant changes, folk in poor health at home or in care, those who struggle to offer forgiveness and accept forgiveness. May we remain open and available and offer friendship and support at the right time. May the healing power of forgiveness remove the bitterness from so many lives and let your grace sow seeds of love in those who see despair before them. Lord, we pray for those we know, that Christ will bring them the joy of renewal and peace. For all those individuals and families preparing to go on holiday, and for those who will not be able to go on holiday, we pray. We pray for our food link offering, the basket in the foyer where we give food to help support families who will be in particular need during the school holidays when children are not helped by school meals. May they all rejoice in fellowship and feel nourished in the weeks to come. Lord, we rejoice that no one is beyond the reach of your love, and that this good news may be proclaimed throughout the world. The Lord hears our prayers. Thanks be to God. Amen. We draw towards the end of our worship by singing one of Charles Wesley's greatest hymns, God of All Power and Truth and Grace, number 498 in the books. Is going to lead us in a blessing. I think the words will appear on the screen, so do join in. God's joy be in your heart, and God's love surround your living. And may God keep you and bless you all the days of your life. Amen.